This is Jacob Price, writer of Reading the Greens on jacobcprice.com, and you're listening to Deep in the Rough, a bi-weekly podcast looking at what's going on in the world and why it matters to the younger generations. This week's podcast is going to be a little different than last week's, and it's going to be in a much more casual format. I have no word-for-word script, just some bullet points on certain topics. And there's a reason for that, and this format may be heard in future episodes, depending on what the circumstances call for and how this one goes. I'm going to start off by announcing the blog's first season will come to a finish at the end of this month. August is a break from writing and podcasting, but I'm planning on posting articles others have written that I feel may be beneficial to you, the readers. One of the reasons for this break in August is that I'm transitioning to a new school and taking a tough class load. I want to be able to focus on that and get a feel of my schedule and what I'm going to be able to do with the blog and podcast in the future, whether that's how much time I'm going to be able to put into it, what kind of content it's going to be, how much content. I really love doing the podcast and blog, but if it's necessary to make changes, such as moving the podcast from bi-weekly to monthly, that's what will happen. One of the reasons this is in such a casual format this week is because I've been having to focus a lot of my time on summer reading. Some of the books I'm reading this year include Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, The Source by James Michener, and Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Yeah, I kind of have to admit, I am enjoying Pride and Prejudice. Mere Christianity is one of the tougher books I've read, and C.S. Lewis does a great job of using analogies, but I'm finding it hard that some of those can be difficult to keep up with. You know, I think that there's really a way that you have to read it, and you have to learn how to read it and take notes throughout. And I may do a podcast or a blog post on Mere Christianity and kind of a review almost in the future. We'll see when I finish that. The Source by James Michener, I actually haven't starting it today, but it looks really good. It's basically a lot of archaeological research, and it's all compiled into a novel that I believe was written in 1965. I'm really looking forward to it, but it's one of the longer books I've ever read. So if you can find the time, I would, at least on the looks, recommend it. Like I said, I haven't started it, so I can't really say that, but I'll also let y'all know about that. And then Pride and Prejudice, I doubt it needs any introduction. Probably gets hated on by a lot of people because it's supposedly girly. And yes, I did say I'm enjoying it. Yeah, we're moving on from that. Some of the news in the past 2 weeks, first one includes the NBA. The NBA, as you may have heard, moved the All-Star Game out of Charlotte due to a North Carolina bill. The North Carolina bill named House Bill 2, North Carolina House Bill 2, which, yes, it was similar to Texas House Bill 2 or HB 2, which we talked about last week, states that citizens must use the bathroom that corresponds with their birth certificate, not just the bathroom that they identify with. I really just don't understand why this is a discussion. I do understand why it's a discussion, but I don't think it needs to be a discussion. However, that's all I'm going to go into it because this has taken me three times as long because I made three cuts where I got off script and script. I got off bullet points and went way too political here when it's really not what needs to be doing, and it's not what this podcast is about. This is a coming from a worldview, and we're not going to get into any of the biblical arguments that are for or against it. So that's all I'm going to say on it at this point, is I don't understand why it's a discussion. I think it's a safety issue. The North Carolina Governor, Pat McCrory, responded with a statement that showed North Carolina is not planning to back down because of this. Quote, "It's an insult to our city, it's an insult to our state, and I think it sets dangerous precedent for the corporate sports and entertainment elite basically asking for a, I don't know what this is, quid pro quo on legislation or else they'll deny their service," end quote. The governor goes on to make the point that, quote, "What's ironic about this is not just a North Carolina issue. We have 22 other states that are suing the Obama administration on this issue regarding mandates on the private sector and on our universities and our schools. And of these 22 states, we have 13 NBA teams. So there's also during this process, I think, some selective outrage," end quote. A think tank at UCLA has estimated that this bill could cost North Carolina up to $5 billion a year. You've got to remember, this stems from PayPal canceling their plans for headquarters there, hundreds of jobs that they've lost, all from a bill that states that, I mean, if you have male on your birth certificate, you got to go to the men's room. If you got female on your birth certificate, you got to go to the women's room. The sexual orientation, transgender, it's not new, obviously. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's not biblical, and that's what I'm saying. It's not biblical. You can say it is, but it's not. You can talk about it in this. I will discuss it in the comments. The Bible's pretty clear on it. I will discuss. I will not argue it. I will not put my foot down. So don't even try that. But I'd love to actually hear your opinion on it in the comments. But it's North Carolina, whether or not they realize it, they may not be doing it for biblical purposes, but just safety. They are standing on biblical principles. And as a younger generation, we have to realize that as we progress, as society ages, then society is moving further and further away from biblical principles. They're not standing on it like they used. You can't even really say they used to be. They're closer to it than they are now. Now it's this bill, which seems like it should be common sense, in my opinion. You may say it doesn't. A lot of people don't. But is now being called out for prejudice and discrimination. So when we take a stand on something, we need to stand on biblical truth, but we need to expect that there will be a backlash and there will be consequences. Now, they're temporary consequences because no one can really hurt it. The worst they can do, I heard this, my dad said it when he was preaching this Sunday, today, when the spring recorded. He said, he was talking to someone, he said, the worst that someone can do to you is send you to heaven if you're a Christian. So that's great. But still, we need to be, we still need to expect to take consequences that are temporary, because that's going to happen. North Carolina is losing up to $5 billion a year, and this was UCLA, the think tank there. Yeah, this was before the NBA All-Star Game. The NBA All-Star Game brings a lot of money to the state, the city, the arena that it's being hosted in. So North Carolina is already losing more money than was estimated. So up to, if not more than, $5 billion a year. That's a lot of funding. In the other news this week, there have been many recent attacks and prejudice directed towards police in the past couple of weeks. These attacks include Dallas, Thursday, July 7th, 2016. Five police officers are killed after a sniper opens fire during a protest. Seven others were injured, making it, according to CBS News, the deadliest day in American policing since the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attack. Yeah. The protest, they were protesting against the police officers caused by some shootings and the couple weeks before that. I know it was two separate shootings. I'm not sure if they were in two separate weeks right after each other in the same week. In Baton Rouge on Sunday, July 17th, 2016, three officers were killed and at least three more were injured after a week of protests. As ABC.com points out, these attacks are really starting to take a toll on our law enforcement. Quote, you can get shot at for $40,000 or be at your home with your family for $60,000, says Seattle police recruiter Jim Ritter. Trouble from Gotham to Mayberry. Police departments in Los Angeles, New York City, and Chicago are all working harder at recruitment and drawing fewer applicants. But it's also the same story in smaller cities such as Leesburg, Virginia, where the number of applicants to the police department has dropped 90% over the past 5 years, and Reno, Nevada, which reports a decline of 50% since 1997. A decade ago, there were 3,000 applicants for 10 openings with the Seattle Police Department says. Now there are 1,000 applicants for 70 positions, a drop of more than 90%. In Springfield, Mississippi, only 75 people applied for the police academy this month, but 4 years ago, they had 300, reports Elaine Deck, a researcher who has been studying the problem for the International Association of Chiefs of Police. In rural towns in the South, the number of people showing up to take the written police exams has often dropped 80%, she says. In Fairfax County, Virginia, an entrance exam advertisement would draw 4,000 people 5 years ago. Now it brings in 300. Toughest in small cities, the dearth of new officers is affecting more apartments. But in many ways, small forces are having the toughest time. Large departments have a greater variety of duties and shifts, which many recruits find more appealing. In addition to offering patrol work, there may be community policing details, bike officers, school officers, and other specialty positions. A small force typically has less diversification and less opportunity for advancement, Deck says. Small departments also generally pay considerably less than big city forces. According to the IACP, the median starting salary for a new officer is $39,000. In smaller departments, it is just $30,000 to $32,000. The officers equate pay with respect, says Gilbert Gallegos, president of the Fraternal Order of Police and National Association of Rank and File Officers. Many are reluctant to accept a lower salary they feel is less prestigious, end quote. Let's go back to that. Quote, the officers equate pay with respect, end quote. Well, I think it's safe to say that over the past 3 years, there hasn't been much respect, and it's been decreasing and decreasing constantly, every day. So we're fortunate enough to actually have police officers who are still running straight into the danger when we're running away, who are risking their lives for hours. I mean, can you really blame these guys, though? I mean, why would recruitment not drop off? It's getting more and more dangerous and less and less respectful and less paying. I mean, again, we're just... While the rest of the world may be, rest of the country may be, you know, hating on our police officers and, you know, saying that they're all killers, we can at least show them some respect. And you know, it's the small things, really. You know, thank them for serving. I want to keep in mind the recent attacks on Germany. There was one Friday in Munich, Germany. I'm out to McDonald's, you probably heard of it, and there was one when I was recording that popped up and I just caught some keywords, said I heard one killed, 11 injured, suicide bomb, it looked like, and Syrian, those are the only words that really caught my attention. So if you want to see more, I'm sure you've probably heard of it when this comes out. Our country isn't the only one that is being... seeming to be torn apart more and more by terrorist attacks. Remember Nice, I don't know how the French pronounce it, in France on Bastille Day, which I believe is July 14th. No. Yes, July 14th, I think. Pretty sure I'm right. I'm not going to be certain because I don't want to get this wrong because I'm not editing it. I'm too tired. I don't have anything to say about that. Just awful. This may be only the second podcast on the Deep in the Rough, but it is the last in the blog season. Let me know your opinion on the blog and podcast. I'd love to hear your opinion on which format you like better, constructed and formal like last week's, or 2 weeks ago rather, or more casual and conversational like today's. You can email me at blog@jacobcprice.davidcprice.com, tweet me at jacobcprice20, or drop a comment on the blog site itself, which, I mean, you know, I really do love to hear the feedback. I've gotten feedback on the blog quite a bit. I'm always trying to make it better for the readers, in format, style, looks, that kind of easier to navigate and find things in. But I can't fix something if I don't know what's going on. So like I said, you can email me at blog@jacobcprice.davidcprice.com, tweet me at jacobcprice20, or just drop a comment on the blog site itself. Either way, I'm going to find those. I have more social media platforms you can find on the blog if you just look on there, Reading the Greens on jacobcprice.com. But if Twitter's probably going to be the easiest way to reach me. The song you heard in the beginning and end of the podcast that you're hearing now is Forest Fire, written and performed by Recaptured, and you can find that song on iTunes. Be sure to tune in next week to Reading the Greens on jacobcprice.com to check out the last post of the season, and I'll see you back in September, deep in the rough.